You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Andrew J. Hacker, the founder of Mist IQ Technologies, the creator of smart data transforming everyday data into intelligent data. Mr. Hacker, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Pleasure to be here.
And our pleasure to have you with us. So for starters, tell us, for those that aren't familiar, what is the Internet of Things? We hear about that so often today.
So the Internet of Things is the concept that as computing power gets a lot more powerful and computing platforms get a lot more cheaper and, more importantly, smaller, we can conceive of basically computing power being everywhere. So you can think of, you know, computers being embedded in your shirt, in your shoes. You know, certainly they have computers now in light bulbs these days. So the Internet of Things is actually the term used to describe, you know, pretty much, you know, computers being embedded in almost anything, right? So the common classic joke is, you know, the day your refrigerator starts talking to your toaster, you know, then we really hit the Internet of Things. So that should give you a sense.
Most definitely. And shifting gears a little bit here, what is blockchain technology and how does it facilitate data sharing?
Right. So one of the really big challenges today with all of this data that's being produced, especially, you know, with Internet of Things, since there are going to be so many computers all over the place, they will be producing more and more data every year. And by the year 2020, they predict something like 4.4 zettabytes of data. So just to even, you know, describe what that is, that's 100 billion terabytes of data in one whole year. You know, it's like a stack of iPods from here to the moon worth of data. So it's so much data that, you know, understanding the intelligence and understanding, you know, patterns that happen with data as the amount of data increases, it gets more and more difficult. And the other component to this, too, is certainly institutions, different industries, and even, you know, companies within a particular industry do not talk to each other. So they don't share data. They don't share knowledge and information that comes from their data. Pretty much basically, they don't talk to each other. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's a trust factor. So, you know, when we do share data, if I'm a government agency or entity and I want to, you know, make the data that I have available to the public for use, you know, there's all kinds of contractual things that have to happen about how the data is being used and even how to track that data. And its usage is all, you know, a very big challenge right now. And even, you know, within healthcare, for example, even within a hospital, you know, all of the systems that run that hospital really don't communicate well with each other. So using smart data sort of as a universal, you know, data format and leveraging blockchain technology to explain what blockchain is, if you've heard of Bitcoin, you know, as sort of this, you know, cryptocurrency that, you know, some people are using alternatively. The technology that makes Bitcoin possible is called blockchain. And what that does essentially is it's a large shared, essentially, database that's called a ledger that everybody agrees upon, you know, everything that happens within that network. So every transaction, every exchange of information is, you know, calculated and agreed upon by a consensus of people globally, which is then put into this large database. So, you know, a record of everything that's happened is continually in existence. It's unmodifiable, so it's unchangeable. So what this does is it enables us to be able to leverage blockchain to build an open data sharing platform that is verifiable, you know, via this blockchain technology, but then also, you know, makes it a lot easier for companies to actually, you know, not only share their data with other entities, you know, either within their industry or within other industries, but also, you know, potentially be compensated for the value of that data. So if I'm a, you know, a healthcare company or I'm a hospital and I have, you know, patient health information and patient data, which, you know, typically has to be HIPAA compliant, meaning that it's secure. You know, we can't give away information about that particular patient, which is, you know, another thing that we're providing solutions for. But let's just say there are some researchers that want access to that information. It's typically very difficult for researchers to get good data, and also data that's, you know, been sanitized, so it doesn't provide any patient information. But, you know, how do they get that data? How do they use that to, you know, find the efficacy of drugs, to, you know, find new cancer treatments, all that kind of thing? But if we take that a step further, so, you know, let's just say that there's some other industry that might be interested in that information. You know, maybe it's the transportation, you know, network in a particular city. You know, they want to make things more efficient. You know, they want to make emergency services faster, and, you know, be able to, you know, route people to the right hospital, let's say. So they might want to use some information that hospital provides as well. So, you know, that type of sharing today does not exist in any form whatsoever. So with our platform and smart data, you know, we'll be able to put conditions and logic within each piece of data that will enable that sharing and also the, you know, the proper sharing of that information so that it still, you know, complies with, you know, all of the different, you know, security standards, privacy standards that will exist at some point in the United States, at least. So that just kind of gives you an idea of how we enable open data sharing.
Good stuff there. And how much data will be produced over the next 2 to 3 years, and why is this significant?
Yes, well, essentially the amount of data that's getting produced is increasing at an exponential rate, meaning, you know, almost to the point where it could be thought of doubling each year. Over the next 2 to 3 years, I mean, we're looking at, you know, massive, massive amounts of data in the zettabytes. And a zettabyte, you know, we've got gigabytes, terabytes, picobytes, or petabytes, I should say. Zeta is, you know, 10 with, you know, basically 21 zeros at the end of it. So really just literally so much data that, in fact, even now, companies are really struggling, you know, with how much data that they have to manage. In fact, they're literally throwing data away. So, you know, if they're throwing away 90% of their data, you know, they're not even having the opportunity to sort of look through that data and find, you know, intelligence and knowledge from that data that can help their business. You know, even, you know, some government agencies, you know, they literally are, you know, deleting data faster than they can even really look at it. So, you know, what's really needed is a more intelligent way to manage this data. And even, you know, Forbes back in 2016 had said, you know, people should stop thinking about big data. They should start thinking about more about smart data, you know, how to more intelligently manage data, you know, have data do a little bit more of the work itself, which is exactly, you know, what our platform is designed to do.
Also, Andrew, what is smart data and what does it do?
Okay, so just to describe exactly what smart data is, so, you know, traditionally, all data is, for lack of a better phrase, not smart. Data doesn't really do anything. I mean, if you think of, you know, your credit card number or a photo that you take from your phone camera, once you produce it, it doesn't do anything on its own. It needs some external application to actually, you know, either store it, upload it to Facebook, you know, tag it with maybe some geospatial, you know, some geolocation information. But other than that, data really doesn't do anything. So, you know, data kind of just sits in databases and, you know, really kind of waits for something to happen. So, you know, this is all very inefficient because of the fact that in order to really, you know, look at data and utilize it and try to find patterns that are useful to a particular business, companies have to, you know, shovel data from place to place into cloud storage systems, into data lakes, and then they have some external application like a, you know, big data analytics platform trying to sort through all that data and, you know, basically uncover patterns and produce reports. Well, this is very slow and cumbersome, cost of money, you know, transport all that data. So smart data is essentially taking that whole paradigm and, you know, turning it upside down and giving the data itself the ability to actually start, you know, assembling itself into patterns on its own, right? So our platform, I mean, obviously there's a platform that has to enable this, but we actually, you know, tag each piece of data as it's produced with application logic that allows us to basically create conditions and, you know, all kinds of, you know, complex logic on how that data gets gets used, gets moved around. So you can actually think of a piece of smart data as having the ability to, you know, understand where it was produced from, understand sort of where it even needs to go. You know, if I'm this piece, you know, if I'm this result of data, I go over here to this system. If I'm maybe an alert piece of data, I go over here and I do this thing, right? So that enables sort of this whole new ecosystem of possibilities of really, you know, real time, you know, much faster than traditional big data analytics, but also, you know, doing it more intelligently. It leads to a lot, you know, better management of massive amounts of data and makes things a lot more efficient for everybody involved.
And certainly sounds like it. Today we're joined by Andrew J. Hacker, the founder of Mist IQ Technologies, the creator of Smart Data, transforming everyday data into intelligent data here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, after conducting business online for nearly 20 years, one thing is certain, your online appearance is important. Design Crowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs, startups, and small businesses, from accountants and attorneys to personal trainers and authors, outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web design from designers around the world. Design Crowd has over 550,000 designers ready to help you with awesome creative ideas. Get the perfect custom design every time. Check out designcrowd.com to learn more and receive your Entrepreneur Podcast VIP offer when you start your next project. Head to designcrowd.com/network for a special $100 VIP offer for our listeners, or simply enter the discount code network when posting a project on Design Crowd. Now, continuing on, Andrew, how do companies use big data analytics and machine learning to improve their businesses?
Right. So, you know, basically the whole concept behind big data analytics is, you know, yes, we know we've got all of this data, you know, terabytes and terabytes of data that, you know, may or may not have any, you know, real direct, you know, ties into what that business's, you know, strengths are, right? So, you know, if I'm an insurance company, you know, I've got certain, you know, business goals that I have to achieve, but I might not know from all of the data of all the transactions that happen, you know, how is my business doing? So the simplest way would be, you know, use a big data analytics platform. You know, you do some transformations, you might see some pattern that, hey, you know, here in December, you know, we see a much lower rate of, you know, this type of accident. So based on that, we can allocate our resources in a more intelligent way, you know, get some efficiencies, and maybe we even, you know, see some patterns that let us produce new revenue streams. Oh, okay, well, I can, if I try this thing, or I, you know, maybe I create this mobile application that targets this, you know, group of my customers, you know, I can realize additional revenue streams. So, you know, big data analytics is basically, you know, using data, looking for patterns that can make my business better in several different ways. So machine learning is sort of, you know, the next generation of big data analytics, where we're, you know, actually using artificial intelligence type functions to maybe even go so far as to predict things. So big data analytics, you know, it might produce some patterns, but it, you know, it would take a human to look at it and apply that to the business to make a prediction. Whereas artificial intelligence, machine learning could actually, you know, use those patterns to make real predictions and say, hey, you know, the forecast is in 3 years, you know, this city has the, you know, will have the lowest rate of, you know, accidents on rainy days. So, you know, we can leverage that to, you know, maybe, you know, have less call centers in that area, for example. So machine learning is, you know, sort of very sophisticated logic that, you know, can really provide some really deep insight into our data.
Also, if you would, talk about data-defined computing and how it is more effective than traditional application-centric solutions.
Right. So with data-defined computing, we want data to be in the driver's seat. So, you know, instead of data just, you know, getting produced and having to be stored, where something else is sort of, you know, calling the shots with respect to, you know, what data does and how it's managed, we believe that every, you know, every piece of data, you know, should have the instructions and the logic to tell, you know, the rest of the world what to do. So if I am a certain piece of data getting produced by, you know, maybe a certain medical device, you know, instead of that information flowing to a central, you know, alert station, where that alert station is basically, you know, has the business logic to make things happen. You know, we want it so that the data itself actually says, well, okay, I am this piece of data. I came from this device. You know, I am measuring heart rate, let's say. And, you know, based on this, you know, if you see a certain level of this heart rate, you know, go higher than, you know, 120 or 130, the data actually says, okay, I'm going to send out an alert to this station and alert this patient's nurse, right? So data-defined computing, essentially all of the know-how and all of the things that will happen on our data-defined computing network is really embedded in each piece of data. And we believe that this will, you know, make things much more efficient. You know, we'll have automatic extraction of business intelligence from data without, you know, big, expensive, big data analytics solutions having to do it for us.
What are the changes of data sharing and data ownership?
So as we talked about data sharing, you know, certainly a majority of entities and different industries, you know, at this point in time, do not talk to each other, or it is very difficult, and there's a lot of contractual and paperwork arrangements that have to be made for data sharing. Data-defined computing, you know, enables open data sharing in a universal way. And another big thing that's, you know, really important now, and, you know, a lot of, you know, healthcare government agencies and healthcare institutions, just to, you know, name one industry that it's very important to, are very interested and concerned with data ownership and also data origin. So with data ownership, it's you know, who owns a particular piece of data? You know, if I'm a patient and I'm wearing a Fitbit, who owns the data that comes from all of my statistics? So all of my heart rates, all of the steps I make on every given day, when do I go to sleep, when do I wake up? Is that my data? Is that Fitbit data? Or is it, you know, my phone manufacturer's data, right? And that's a very interesting question. And really, this all hasn't been answered as of yet. And in a lot of cases, you know, the companies that are providing the products might say, well, it's our data because, you know, we measured it. But, you know, if I'm the consumer, I'm the patient in the hospital, I say, well, wait a minute, you know, that's my information. It's personal to me. It's almost like an electronic medical record, right? So all of the data that's in there is about me, right? It's about my health, you know, current situation. And, you know, insurance companies can learn all kinds of things, you know, from that information, from Fitbit information, from my electronic medical record. So really, I mean, you know, it's very important to me that information be under my control at some level, right? So, you know, that's a big challenge today because, you know, right now there's really no real way to verify, you know, where a piece of data came from and even, you know, who was responsible for it being produced. So, you know, our platform, you know, we basically have a solution for that where we can embed data ownership in every piece of data that gets produced. And not only that, but everywhere that data goes, you know, as long as that data is in existence, you know, it'll still have that information. And furthermore, we can actually, you know, track where, you know, when a piece of information crosses the boundary from one company to another. So if we think of, let's say, an automobile produces, you know, massive amounts of data, one automobile does. So, you know, that data that gets produced by that car is of interest to A, me as a driver, B, the auto manufacturer to see, you know, how's the car doing? Where are the defects? Maybe, you know, the supply chain of the parts that go into the car, certainly the insurance companies, and also, you know, government entities like the, you know, departments of transportation are interested in, you know, traffic flows and your speed and, you know, is this traffic light effective? So, you know, right now, how does all that information, you know, flow between all these entities that are interested in it? Right now, it's cumbersome and it really doesn't. So, you know, you can think of, you know, our platform being able to say, hey, you know, this piece of data came from this car at this time. It belongs to, I mean, let's just say it's a leasing company. It belongs to this leasing company. We're going to share it with this insurance company, but we want a record of that. You know, maybe we even charge for that information or we charge for some intelligence that comes out of, you know, all of those pieces of information. So we're really enabling sort of this unified data exchange and data valuation, you know, almost like a, you know, a market for different types of data.
Quite informative, and we can't thank you enough for joining us here today. Lastly, we've heard a lot about smart cities. Tell us, what are smart cities? Where are they? And is this just another buzzword?
That's a great question. Yeah, so smart cities is the concept of, you know, city as, you know, one big, organism almost, right? So one big entity where, you know, all of the different parts and components of that city, you know, kind of talk to each other and, you know, do things in an intelligent way. And, you know, it certainly, there's a lot of cities that are, you know, quote unquote, becoming smart cities. There's certainly a lot of investment in the technologies that go into smart cities. You know, certainly at Dallas, Texas, actually, smart cities, New York, you know, a lot of the big major cities. Philadelphia has some really big initiatives in Pennsylvania for, you know, increasing the amount of investment in technology research into smart cities. But yeah, I mean, really, you can, the smart city is essentially, you can think of, I've got a building, I've got air conditioning, I've got lighting, you know, so can that building actually talk to the energy supply company? You know, maybe there's some peak hours, or maybe we can even have the building adjust temperature based on how many people are inside of it, right? So, I mean, we can have buildings that are, you know, from the parking infrastructure and from traffic systems, so, you know, water supply systems, all these systems basically, you know, communicating well together effectively and in real time. I mean, that's the big promise of smart city, is that, you know, not only will smart cities enable, as we said before, you know, potentially new revenue streams of how to, you know, to create services that are, you know, very well tailored for the citizens of that that city, but also, you know, dramatic cost reductions, you know, eliminating a lot of, you know, inefficiencies in a lot of just different systems. It'd be electrical, you know, water, waste management, you know, traffic, all of these things. You know, a lot of big issues and a lot of big problems in a lot of cities. And smart city kind of strives to, you know, sort of fix these problems. So, you know, we will be a big enabling technology for the smart cities of tomorrow. So looking forward to that for sure.
Now, I've got to ask you this question. I couldn't let you go before asking this. I'm sure the listeners are curious as well. You're obviously involved with technology. Is your last name really Hacker?
Yeah. I have had this name from birth. Even before, you know, cybersecurity was a cool thing. But yeah, it is possible that based on my last name, I might have gotten a couple cybersecurity jobs. So I'm not complaining.
I love it. Awesome stuff. And hey, really informative, and can't thank you enough for joining us here today. Where can listeners get all the details on Mist IQ Technologies?
Sure. Our website is www.mistiqtech.com. So it's MISTIQTECH.com.
Well, Mr. Hacker, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you, and continued success. And again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
That'd be great. Thank you so much, Eric.
And you're most welcome. We've been speaking with Andrew J. Hacker, the founder of Mist IQ Technologies, the creator of smart data, transforming everyday data into intelligent data. And for all the details, visit MistIQTech.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.